This is a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk.
Number 304.
You're listening to the RAB TGO Challenge. Part 2.
The 2010 event was blessed with incredibly fine weather as the 300 or so participants made their way during the month of May from the west to the east coast of Scotland. For those not familiar with this event, it is one which is totally unique in that it isn't a race or a competition. Its sole objective is the same now as it was over 30 years ago when it first started, to foster good fellowship amongst walkers within the framework of a challenging 200-mile expedition. And that is about it. You can approach the trip in any way you like. There are those who carry everything and travel through remote high areas, not meeting others at all, and walkers who use local bed and breakfasts and hostels and keep to well-trodden, easy paths. Most people do something in between and make it as easy or as hard as they personally wish. Routes are submitted and vetted for safety purposes and suggestions, and a small team in control track people as they amble their way, making sure rescue and advice is always at hand should it ever be required. I have had the unenviable task of editing the audio material gathered en route by Andy Howell and Shirley Worrell this year. Sadly, Rose and I didn't make it this time, and I hope I've compiled the material I do have in a way which is entertaining and informative. As you listen to this, it is worth keeping in mind that Andy enjoys a lightweight approach to his walking, and Shirley is, well, torn between stories of ghosts in haunted bodies and the finest of local foods. So her route was anything but direct to incorporate those interests. Walkers start on the west anywhere between Torridon and Ardrishaig and aim to finish somewhere between Arbroath and Fraserburgh on the east coast. Andy started at Dorney, while Shirley set out from Oban. They both recorded a wide range of interviews with people they met along the way, some of whom I have names for, and others I have yet to work out. However, by the time these podcasts are released, I'm hoping the show notes will contain all the missing details. So here we go. Let's just let the story naturally unfold as told by Andy and Shirley and those they meet on the RAB TGO Challenge 2010.
Well, if you're heading out to the hills this weekend, here's what to expect. Starting over Argyll and the Northwest Highlands, you'll have a mixture of brighter sunny intervals and occasional showers. These showers will fall as snow above Munro levels. Cloud will be broken and occasionally overcast in the northwest at times, but visibility will remain mainly good.
Well, what a difference an evening makes. You can know that here. The rain crashing down around us. Not a bad night, really. We did have quite a bit of rain during the evening. And although it's raining hard, the sky doesn't look quite too bad when you look outside, so it's reasonably low-level skies, I think. But the choice of Scotland. We went to bed last night, lovely, nice, sunny evening, and we've woken up to driving rain. Anyhow, lots to talk about today, I think. We've got our ridge walk to do, hopefully, if it's not too bad. There's been a little gentle dusting of snow on the high tops. It must have been a bit cold last night, although I didn't feel it. And then a walk around the ridge and a drop down into beautiful Glen Affric. And not too hard a day after that, so we'll probably pitch early. And Phila's got lots of electronic gizmos and rechargers and satellite navigation things that we can talk about. It's quite clear that for the best dressed man in the mountains these days, a simple GPS just isn't good enough. Anyway, we'll catch you later, hopefully from the top of our ridge and hopefully with the sun shining through. But in the meantime, we'll just go back to listening to the rain.
Well, good morning, challengers, former challengers and potential challengers. It's Shirley again here. It's approximately 8:20 on the morning of the second day of the challenge. It's Saturday today. Managed to find a really lovely B&B in Tinault last night. I can't pronounce it properly, but it looks as though it would be called Cruailin, C-R-U-A-I-L-I-N-N, for the benefit of anybody else who may come this way in the future. Managed to find, I think it has three rooms, two of which were already occupied, but there was a family room with a double bed and a single bed that Charlie and I shared between us. He very generously allowed me to have the double bed and took the other one himself. Had a very comfortable night's sleep. It's a lovely, comfortable room with a big bathroom. It even has a bath, although both of us were too tired to use that by the time we got to bed last night, as well as a shower. And tea and coffee making facilities, all that kind of stuff. I've just popped outside to say hello, but I smelt breakfast cooking inside and it smells delicious. So we've woken to what is still a dry morning, but very cloudy. It's cloudy all over. Some of the clouds look a little bit grey. I suppose the reality is that there's a possibility of some rain later on. I see some puddles on the ground, actually, so it must have rained overnight, but hopefully not too heavily. My plan today is to walk to Loch Dochart. I haven't yet checked, but I think from recollection that that will be a distance of, well, not sure, anything up to 20 miles. I'll check on my little sheet when I go back inside. So it's quite a long day for me, but it's necessary in order for me to be able to get to Gorton Bothy the next night and then put the rest of my sort of challenge plan into action. So I plan to have breakfast and then finish packing. I've done most of my packing already, which is very organised for me, so I'm quite pleased about that. And press on, really, make a good early start on the day. And I managed to get some supplies, I think I might have mentioned yesterday evening, at the excellent shop here. So I've now equipped myself with a tube of Primula and a loaf of organic sprouted rye bread. I don't enjoy organic sprouted rye bread, it has to be said, although I always feel I should do. But I'm quite sure that when I'm hungry on the challenge, it'll taste absolutely delicious, and it's easy to carry in my rucksack like a small brick as it is, not likely to squish. So I've got those and some treacle toffees and the various bits and pieces that I already had with me by way of little treaty things, sweets and stuff, and some fig rolls, which are of course absolutely perfect for walking, running or any sort of thing like that. So there we go. That's I'm already thinking about lunch and I haven't yet had breakfast. I suppose it shows I'm hungry. So I'll go in and have the breakfast and set off, and hopefully I'll run into some people later on, maybe able to record another podcast before lunch. But if not, then I'll say goodbye to you for now and speak to you again later. Goodbye. Hello again, it's me. It's 11:25, and just thought I'd record another quick update on my progress. As I've mentioned frequently in the past, I've never been a confident navigator. I know I can do it when I'm careful and watch the map, but quite often I don't look at the map as frequently as I should, and I spend too much time listening to my MP3 player, and so therefore I pass things, and only later do I realise I've made a mistake and I have to backtrack, and it adds to the length of the day. Anyway, bearing all of that in mind, and bearing in mind also that I often find the most difficult part of the day to be getting out of the village or the town, I've been watching the map quite carefully this morning. But despite that, I still managed to have been lost again since the last time I made a recording, which can't really have been much more than 40 minutes ago. I came to a junction that I thought I could see on the map. Part of the reason I thought it was a particular junction was that, well, I could either go right or I could continue straight on. And there's a big sign, with a big red sign with a white bar painted across it saying no unauthorised access on the path that was straight on. So I assumed, therefore, that I got to the point at which I was supposed to go to the right. And so I took that path and I just laboured up a hill in what's quite considerably strong sunshine for about 20 minutes, only to find that the path didn't, in fact, snake round to the left as I was hoping it might. So I eventually stopped and dug out the GPS, which I rather stupidly buried halfway down my pack, and found that I had, in fact, gone the wrong way. So I'm now making my way back down to the junction of paths, which is probably another, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes ahead of me. And at that stage, I'll embark upon the path that says no unauthorised access, and hope to find that 100 metres or so later it will branch again, and at that stage I will turn right. So there we are. I do hope that that the rest of my challenge isn't going to continue in this vein. But I can't help feeling a bit of a sense of foreboding. I certainly hope that I am going to be able to make enough progress to get to Loch Dochart tonight, because although I can, of course, camp anywhere I like along the way, I've still got quite a long way to go in order to get to Gorton Bothy tomorrow night, and I really do want to stay there. So anyway, I'll sort of take a deep breath and try to put the frustration out of my mind. It is very beautiful. The day is less damp than it was a couple of hours ago, and it's quite sunny and warm. And in fact, had it not been for the fact that I've just stopped for some 5 or 10 minutes to locate my position and cool down a little, I probably would have taken off my jacket and left it off. But I've got it back on for now, and I can always stop and take it off again later. So, listeners, hopefully the next time I'm recording something, it will be to confirm that I am finally on the correct path and aiming in the proper direction, and not back to Fort William or Outer Mongolia or something like that. Still no sign, of course, of the other challengers who must by now be hours ahead of me, even those who actually left behind me. Another thing I should just mention before I put this away is that I'm passing sprays of the most beautiful creamy yellow primroses. They're always here at this time of the year, but it brings me great joy to see them. Okay, well, that's that for now. Well, as I say, hopefully next time we our minds meet, I'll be on the right path. Fingers crossed, please. Okay, and I'll speak to you later. Goodbye for now.
Well, you heard the rain this morning. What a difference a day makes. I mean, our plan to nip up on the ridge. Of course, we'd strategically camped just in the right place for an early start. And then the rain started. And actually, then the sun came out. And then, of course, by the time we were packing up, I'll let Phil take up the story.
Yeah, we packed up. Everything was dripping. Everything was drying nicely in the sun. Got everything put away. Thought, oh, that's going to be a nice day. Bit of blue sky. And then the heavens opened again, and it was wet, and it was as if the rain hated us. It really, really wanted to hurt us. It was, and then we had hail, and it got bright again. It was one of those four seasons in a day moments, really. We had everything, really. We had fog and mist and hail, and there was obviously snow last night as well. Very, very strong winds, bit of rain, and a nice trudge through the bog.
So as a result of that, we didn't go up on the ridge. But the walk we had down the glen was very, very boggy, but actually was very nice. I mean, we didn't see anybody, really. There's not really a footpath. And the going's not that difficult, though, if you don't mind getting wet. And but the scenery all around was stunning. So we walked through the glen, around the corner into Glen Affric. And we've now taken sanctuary in the Glen Affric Youth Hostel. There's no one here. Phil has checked the visitors book. There don't seem to be any challenges through either. But the kitchen is open, and there's a beautiful fire lit and a nice notice on the door saying, kind of make yourself at home, which we have been.
Yeah, it's a really lovely sanctuary, really. I'm not sure how happy the wardens are going to be when they come back and see that we're not staying here, but it's nice to be able to boil a kettle and warm ourselves in front of the fire and look at the rain on the windows. And it's a really lovely facility, actually. I might try and come here again, actually stay here. It looks really, really nice.
I think those people who are interested in trail culinary trades, I've definitely decided that coffee out of a... I'm using an MSR filter to make real coffee, but definitely tastes better out of a real mug than it does out of a titanium thingy. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, so while we're sitting here enjoying ourselves, Phil is a fellow blogger like me, but Phil likes to take things into the latest technology area, and you've been doing all kinds of strange things with your mobile phone as we've been going, so tell us about that.
Well, yeah, there was always going to be the... What I'm trying to do is doing some mobile blogging. I'm doing a combination of Twitter and using my WordPress blog. Also, I'm using Philip Sorrell's socialhiking.org.uk map integration app. The way that works is that it draws upon your Twitter, any Twitter updates you do, and any pictures using TwitPic, and also voice recordings via AudioBoo, and it pulls them all together based upon the ViewRanger software, the Buddy Beacon feature. What that allows you to do is to upload via 3G or whatever kind of mobile internet you can achieve in the hills. It uploads your location using the GPS onto a map. Philips very cleverly managed to integrate Google Earth into it, so you can even use a 3D map. It uploads all of those and it charts your progress. Now, this is all very nice when you've got some mobile signal, because obviously you need mobile phone reception to upload to the map. So we've not had any yet. Obviously, we're still on the West Coast, and it's going to get better. But the first day in those deep glens, there was no mobile phone signal at all. So I managed to do an update when we were in Dorney. And I've tried to keep track of where we are using the GPS, and hopefully they should upload all in one go eventually. Last night I'm using a very much in development blogging tool for the Nokia. It's called WordPress for Nokia, which is very, very much in development. It's got a lot of bugs in it, which are quite frustrating. So I'm doing a little blog at the end of the day, and I did one in the middle of the night as well. And I'll try and upload those. I've saved them on the phone, and then when I get to some phone signal, I'll upload them all, and it'll be lovely, and hopefully we have to chart my progress.
Yeah, I've got WordPress app on my iPhone, which I used in Dorney. Not using it out on the trail really, just because I haven't got probably haven't got the battery power to do that. But you've got an ingenious little gadget that gets around that as well.
Yeah, it's very simple really. It's just a little battery holder, really. It's about 35 grams, I believe. And it just takes four AA batteries, and you just plug it in, and it doesn't seem to cope very well with you using the phone while you're charging it. It's just a bit too much of a current draw for it. But certainly leaving it on overnight, it can just bump the charge back up to full, and obviously it's quite easy to replace the batteries when you get to a town. AA batteries are available everywhere. So I just carry four AA batteries, and then when I get to a town, I'll replace them.
That sounds to me maybe not as environmentally sound, but probably more efficient in terms of keeping your phone topped up than one of these solar panel chargers.
Yeah, well, obviously you can use rechargeable batteries, and if you've got a resupply package coming, you can swap out your rechargeable batteries and send the old ones home or whatever. If you know, that's a way of doing it. And I've tried using some form of solar panel, and it didn't really work so well. It's all very well in America where you've got consistent sunlight, but it really didn't work so well for me in Scotland when I tried.
Now, the other thing that is sitting in front of us is this is your rather ingenious piece of cookery gear, mug, really, because loads of us here have got these titanium things, but this is rather special.
Yeah, this is all credit to Hendrik Morkel at hikinginfinland.com for this. He, when I went to Finland recently, we kind of admired his Finnish kuksa, which is a hand-carved mug. Well, it's more a cup, really. It's made of birch, and it's hand-carved in Lapland, and you buy them in the outdoor shops there. And it's just, you know, it's just a birch mug. It's really, really heavy. It's 122 grams, so it's a lot heavier than a titanium mug or whatever, but it's so nice to drink a hot drink out of wood. It's really, you wouldn't believe it, but it's, you know how horrible it is when you burn your lips on a hot titanium mug or my
You don't get that titanium taste either,
well,
I guess.
No, it's quite nice, and it develops its own sort of character as well, because you don't ever wash it in detergent, you just rinse it out with water. And it develops their own, there's a bit of smoke there from the campfire, and it's just a nice characterful thing. It's a bit of a luxury item, but it's also useful to clip it onto your rucksack strap, and you can just dip it into the stream as you go past and, you know, have a swig when you're there. It's a lot easier trying to fill your bottle up or whatever, and it's nice, it works well.
Yeah, well, that's it. You can tell Phil as he strolls along with a wooden cup attached to his wood sack. We'll try and get a picture of that later on as well. I guess the other thing we've been doing today, I suppose, as you walk, we both noticed that on day two of a long trek, you start fantasising about food. And for us, it's the pub in Drumlad Rocket.
Yeah, that'll be nice. It was lovely last year. It was a nice day, though. and we just met in the pub, and we scheduled to go on the late boat across Loch Ness. So it's quite nice to have an early start on the I think it'll be Monday for us, an early start on the Monday, and just make your way into Drumlad Rocket for lunch, sit in the pub outside if you're lucky, and have a nice meal. It's very nice.
Hmm. beer and ale pie or haddock and chips or something like that. And the other thing we've been doing is we've been walking today, because we weren't going to walk together, so this has been quite a, you know, it's quite a treat, really. The other thing we've been doing is thinking about absent friends. And obviously we've been thinking about Bob, who, by the time you hear this, will have spent hours editing it and putting it together in his usual Bob format. But we wondered whether we'd meet some of the TGO challengers, especially some first-timers here. But either they're much further on than we are, or... Well, they're bound to be further on. I don't think they're going to be lurking behind us.
No, no. It'll be nice to see... obviously, Stephen Horner started from Shiel Bridge, and I've been walking with him a while, and it'll be nice to meet up, see how they're getting on. It was a bit of a wild night last night, so nice to see how he was in his MLD Trail Star. Obviously, it'll be fine, but nice to get a first-hand account. And obviously, George, London Backpacker, I'd love to meet up with him to see how he's getting on as well. But I'd imagine they may have met up if they're both starting in Shiel Bridge. So hopefully they're ahead of us and we'll catch up with them later.
Well, George looked a little... there's a little bit of trepidation there when I left him at Shiel Bridge the other day, but certainly he was ready for the excitement. So I'm sure we'll catch up with George in Braemar. Anyhow, so we're sitting here, as I said, in the Glenafric Youth Hostel. Not a soul about. The wardens have just left a note saying they've gone exploring on the hills, so they're going to come back, obviously, soaking wet as well. Yeah, it's a pretty good place, this. It's the main building has got a lovely kitchen, kind of communal area, and then there's a separate building at the back that seems to have the bunks in it. Very comfortable, the most isolated youth hostel, I think, in the UK. Anyhow, so we're going to finish our coffee. I'm going to continue to enjoy the luxury of a drink out of a real mug. And then I guess we'll clean up a bit and leave no trace. And we're going to head on now down Glenafric into the glen. It changes dramatically, this glen, as you walk down it from... where we are now, which is dramatic highland scenery, to something that's much softer, and then climb up through the forests and head towards Coogee. But we're going to camp at a little lochan just short of Coogee itself. And then the next 2 days we're going to be ploughing through, I guess, yet more water, but we're promised more spectacular scenery. So anyway, this is Glenafric Youth Hostel at lunchtime, and we'll speak to you later.
So hello again, challengers. It's 1:30, and I've just stopped for a little bit of lunch. It was quite nice, actually. I had a piece of that rye bread that I mentioned, and as I'd hoped, it was quite delicious, now that my appetite has been sharpened by a morning's walking. I had it with a bit of primula, and then I had a pear that I bought at the shop in Tinalt. That was delicious. And finally, I had a fig roll and a swig of water. So they were more than enough lunch, and hopefully they provide me with a bit of energy to get me a bit closer to Loch Dochart sometime later this afternoon or early this evening, possibly. The weather's changed just a little bit. It's still okay, but whereas it was predominantly sunny, just at the moment it's predominantly cloudy. I've had a couple of small showers. One of them came as soon as I sat down. I suppose that was inevitable, but it seems to have gone off for a moment. It's quite cold, though, so I've put on an extra jacket just for my lunch. I'll take it off before I move on. I think I'm just approaching a place called Invaliva or Invaliva, Invaliva even, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, and I expect to be turning right sometime soon, I suppose that's east in technical terms, to head along Glen Kinglas and then up again north towards Loch Dochart, but that part of the map's on the other side of the page, and I have yet to take the little page out of my map case and turn it over, so I'll see it revealed in all its glory in a moment when I do that. At the moment I'm working from memory, but I think that's what's about to happen. So if that is the case, then I think I must be... I'd like to think that I'm halfway through the day's walk, but I think it's more likely that I'm closer to a third of the way through the day's walk. But hopefully the ground will be softer soon. I'm not on a road, but it's quite a hard track, and my feet are a bit painful. I've been having a very annoying recurrence of the Achilles tendonitis that I always get when I run. I started the running up again about 6 weeks ago, having had to stop because I had the Achilles tendonitis, but I hope that since it had gone away, I might be able to get back into running and pain-free running for the first time in quite some time. Well, sadly not. It flared up, but this time it hasn't stopped, even though I'm not running anymore. So my left Achilles was really quite painful by the time I got to Tynholt yesterday afternoon, and both of them are already sore by only lunchtime today. So that's kind of annoying. I'm hoping it may still be possible to walk it off as the walk continues. But in the meantime, I've had two Panadol extras, and I hope that they'll work some kind of magic and take the edge off the pain. Not that it's severe, but it's annoying. But I hope nonetheless that they'll take it away as I continue towards Loch Dochart. All right, well, I won't hang around much longer because it is getting a bit chilly, so I'm going to get my things together and press on. All right then, so from me at about 1:30, somewhere in Scotland, next to a loch. It's goodbye, and I'll speak to you later.
Well, it's evening now, and a bit like last night, we've found a nice camp spot just short of Coogee on the little lochan there. That always confuses people, because on maps it's shown as a little lochan, and in real life it's huge. It's another lovely evening. The sun has been out, the birds have been singing. But that belies the story of the rest of the day. We left the youth hostel at the top of Glenafric. And from there the route is pretty straightforward. There's a few ups and downs for a few kilometres at the top end of the glen, the highland end, as it were. And then you cross over into what's really a very nice Caledonian forest woodland walk right alongside Glenafric before a kind of torturous climb up to the road to Coogee and our campsite. I think really from the moment we left the hostel in Glenafric, the weather was pretty diabolical, really. In fact, just as we left, the rain came tumbling in, and it followed us more or less all the way until we got to the campsite and the blue skies began to appear. So we're hoping that we're out of the direct influence of the mountains. The weather forecast isn't bad. It's improving for the next few days. So we shall see how we go. But as I speak, it's a nice, quiet evening, not a breath of air, and the two Cuban fibre tarps are still standing well. We've got a little bit of company. There's a little lacto around the corner, and we've seen a few people out walking their dogs, presumably staying at Coogee Lodge. They'll have a bit of a shock this evening, I guess, when they are invaded by goodness knows how many challenge revellers. Coogee Lodge being one of the favourite venues for those who, how can I put this diplomatically, like their single malts. Anyhow, that's the day. Tomorrow's a new day, and we hope to plod on through the Balmacan Forest, which is really just a big open piece of bog. But with stunning views, we're told, as you step down in tide towards the Great Glen and Loch Ness. So we're hoping visibility is going to be good tomorrow, and that we're going to give ourselves a new and different Scottish experience.
So, hello, challengers. It's now the evening of the second day of the challenge, 2010, and here at Loch Dochart, there's a number of other challengers. There's actually five tents in all. So we've got Carl, we've got Bert and Suze, we've got Bill, and we've got Roy. And I got here about 30 minutes ago after really quite an exhausting day. I think it was supposed to be about 18 miles, but with having got lost, I reckon I probably walked about 21 or something like that. But anyway, the tent is up. It isn't raining now. It was raining a little bit when I arrived, but happily the rain's gone off, although I see that sensible people are making preparations just in case a storm comes in. People have been putting big rocks on top of the guy lines, so maybe I'll do that when I've done this. But anyway, Carl is tired, but he's kindly agreed to say a few words about the kind of day that he's had before he goes into bed. So,
well, I've had a good day, but it was a tiring day, really. I've walked farther than I had expected to. I was hoping to camp about 2 or 3 miles back, but I mean, it looks as though you can put a tent down anywhere, yeah, but you can't. Yeah. It's almost impossible some places to find a spot to put a tent. Even here now, the guy lines, ropes are in, and there's pins, and we've got boulders on them to try and hold them down. We had one shower when we got here at 6:15, and we had quite a heavy shower then, but the rest of the day has been really, really good. Really good, and very kind to us. Yep. So let's hope we get another one.
What's your plan for tomorrow, then?
Tomorrow, I'm walking to King's House. So it's not a long day, but I still do it in miles, about 12 miles. So hopefully 4 mile up to Victoria Bridge from here, or 3.5 to 4, and then on up West Highland Way to King's House, and put the tent up there. And hope to have a meal in the pub tomorrow night. Okay. Had a couple of pints.
That sounds like a good idea.
Well,
I'm hoping to be at Gorton Bothy tomorrow night, so sadly there won't be any pints, though, but there may be a little bit of whiskey.
Yeah. Well, if not, you carry it with you.
Yes, well, I have carried it with me. Yes.
That's the one thing I haven't bought. I thought that's extra weight, and I don't wish to carry any extra this year, so I can just go without it for a couple of days.
That's very self-denying of you.
I know it was, yeah. I mean, I usually like to have a beer nearly every day of my life, so. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to go to bed now. The time's actually, 8:15.
Right, okay.
And I'm going to get into my sleeping bag and snuggle down.
Okay, well, you look a bit cold, so I hope you soon warm up and sleep well. Yeah. And I'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
See, I'm sort of press-ganging poor old Roy here into saying a couple of words for the podcast, and he was just telling me how he... What did you say?
I hate camping.
I can understand. We can empathise with that. So what's brought you to this sorry state this evening then, Roy?
Well, everything always seems to be in a mess. Nothing ever seems to be organised. I can never find anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad when I've ready to pack up and go in the morning.
All right. Well, thank you very much indeed for that, and sleep well. Good night.
Thank you very much. I shall try out my new air tonight to see whether it gives me a comfortable night.
OK, excellent. Well, I'll ask you about that in the morning. All right. Good night, then.
Good night.
Good night.
Weather after a cloudy start in the south and up the east coast as far as Aberdeen. It'll be mainly dry this morning with some bright or sunny spells. A few showers will affect Lochaber and the northwest, spreading later to the western Cairngorms. Today's temperatures ranging from 11 Celsius in the northwest to a very pleasant 17 Celsius in parts of Murray and Aberdeenshire.
Well, good morning, listeners. It's 9:20, and it's the beginning of day 3 of TGO Challenge 2010. I woke to an absolutely beautiful morning at Loch Dochart after a slightly fitful night's sleep. Ground wasn't absolutely flat. Well, can't really complain about that. I suppose it's only to be expected. But maybe it'll just take me a couple of nights to get into it. When I spoke to the others this morning, everybody had been the same, lots of tossing and turning. But I did sleep, and as I say, I woke up, finally I woke up at 7:30 to sparkling sparkling sunshine on the loch, and I could feel the warmth of the sun through the inner and the outer on the tent, so that was really lovely. So I sat up and in the usual way made myself some hot chocolate and lay around listening to the other people breaking into early morning conversation. So we've packed up quite slowly. I'm actually packed first, which is unprecedented for me and a marvellous feeling, which has allowed me to sneak off along the shore a little way and sit behind a rock to do this little recording. And everybody else is almost packed. We saw a bloke about an hour ago came walking in towards us. I think he'd been at Bridge of Orkney and he'd cycled to Victoria Bridge and left his bike there. And he plans to do a circuit today around the loch, taking in 3 Munros. So he must have been up bright and early. And another challenger has just passed us. I didn't catch his name because he was talking to Susan, Bert and Carl, but a challenger from Germany. So he was he camped, I think, a little bit further along the lock in the other direction, and made an early start. And he's just dashed off now towards Victoria Bridge because he needs to make his first phone call. So I know that Bill and Roy, otherwise known as Joe, are also heading, as I am, towards Gorton Bothy tonight. And the German TGOer, whose name I must get later, said that he was as well. And I know that Carl is going off towards the King's House Hotel, and I'm not sure what Bert and Suze are doing, but no doubt I'll find out in the course of the morning. So, well, the bright sunshine has gone in for a little while. Tis a bit cloudy now, and there's a little bit of a wind, but it's still a bright and lovely morning, and it isn't raining, and of course that's the most important thing. So I hope that all challengers all over Scotland are having equally lovely mornings, or better, hope there isn't anybody stuck in clag on the tops. I suspect that there might be. I know that, for instance, Jerry and Martin Banff Fielder are planning to do routes that take in a lot of tops, and I know that other people will be as well. So if they're up there, I hope they're enjoying it, not stuck in clag. And I think the plan is that we're going to wander down, well, quite possibly all of us, towards the hotel at Victoria Bridge, with the idea of going in to get a coffee or possibly even a little carbo loading a little bit later in the morning, and then go off in our separate directions. So unless something else happens between now and then, that's it from me for now, and I'll speak to you later. Goodbye. Well, still at Loch Dochart, actually, just about to have a word with people before they set off. So, good morning, Bert.
Good morning.
And what kind of a night did you have?
Well, not too good, but well, after a long day, very nice, along through Clankinglas, we had a good camp here, and, well, we lay in for about 10 hours and had a rest.
Yep.
So, okay, we're ready for day three.
So where are you off to today?
Visavorki.
Oh,
it's only 6 miles today.
Oh, that's nice, isn't
it's
it?
It's nice, yes.
Are you going to go in, there's a bunkhouse there, isn't there?
It is.
Right, okay.
There's, and I think we booked it, so on the highway, West Highland Sleeper. It's
nice, yeah. Excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much for having a quick word. I'll see if I can go and get the others. Here's Suze, in fact. Suze, sorry. Suze, a quick word, if you don't mind, about what kind of a night did you have and what are you off to today?
I didn't sleep very well, but I'm fine. We have a short day today, so we have a bed tonight, so I hope that will be better.
That would be nice.
Yeah, but it was a great day, it was a long day, and we're tired, and feet were not quite okay, but yeah, it's sunshine now, so...
It's a beautiful morning, isn't it?
It is, yes. And it's so beautiful here, the grandeur of Scotland. It's lovely, the west of Scotland.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for having a word. I'll go and get the others now. Yeah. Tell us what kind of night you had, Carl.
Terrible. No, it wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. There's a bit. I found lots of stones underneath what I didn't see last night, but... I said I dreamt a lot, so I must have been asleep.
Well, I suppose it stands to reason.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. I heard the rain and the wind once or twice, and you know, just pulled a sleeping bag over my head and, you know, got back to sleep, or tried to.
And you're off to the King's House today?
I am, yes,
right.
Yeah. I might even try and go in there and have a nice meal tonight and find out how much they charge. And if it's very reasonable, I'd go there, but I don't think it will be.
Well, you never know. You might be lucky and possibly get a room with a bath, which is...
Oh, don't.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, I think we're all going to wander down the path together, but best of luck in your walk to King's House.
Thank you.
And thank you for having a word. I'll just go and get the two remaining victims. I'm just crossing a little stream here to have a brief chat with Bill and Roy stroke Joe. Morning, Bill.
Good morning.
What kind of a night did you have?
Excellent. Wonderful. Sleeping.
Really?
Yes.
God, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, the Thermarest, the
Neora.
Yeah, it's absolutely superb.
That's very good.
Slept like a baby.
Have you used it before?
No, first time.
So you're very pleased
really
with
good,
it.
Yeah.
I think it was your first night, wasn't it?
My first night,
yes.
And it was one of my better nights.
Right, good.
So yeah, we're quite pleased with it.
That's good. And what have you had for breakfast?
And camping's not too bad.
It's not too bad. Roy feels better about camping this morning, but things could change during the course of the day. Well, all right, thank you very much, both of you, having a word. So that's it for now from all of us, and I'll record something a little bit later along the road. But for now, goodbye. So hello, challengers. And it's about 12:40, and stopped for lunch at, I think it's the Inveroran Hotel. Had a really lovely walk from Loch Dochart this morning. The weather's been so glorious that I actually stopped at one stage and took off my cascadas, revealing my grey shorts. It's a long time since I've worn shorts, and so I'm trying not to look too hard at my legs, which are a really disturbing shade of sort of milk bottle white. But the principle is that it's lovely to walk in shorts when possible, and it's absolutely beautifully warm. Most of those of us who camped at Loch Dochart last night are still here, but we lost Carl a little bit further back along the path at Victoria Bridge because he's going to the King's House Hotel tonight. And so people are inside having something to eat. I became involved in a conversation with somebody at another table and so therefore forgot to order food at the appropriate time, but mine's coming soon. Sounds absolutely delicious. I'm going to have a brie and cranberry panini and a little bowl of green salad, which is very welcome because I didn't have any breakfast this morning. I had hot chocolate, but I don't always actually eat in the morning, and so now I'm feeling hungry. So it's, well, as I say, it's an absolutely gorgeous hotel. It's very friendly here at the hotel. The woman is particularly friendly and lovely, and there's a field containing a whole load of white sheets outside, which is a good sign for anybody who might want to stay here. So there are air-dried sheets on the beds. Now, after this, let me see, three of us going on to Gorton Bothy. That's Bill and Joe Cocker, who's really Roy, but I now think of him as Joe. So Bill and Joe and me, we're going on to Gorton Bothy. And Suze and Bert, they are off to Bridge of Orkey. And so I'm not sure if we'll meet again before Montrose. But there we go. That's the way of the challenge, and it's always lovely to see people again in Montrose. So can't really think of anything else particularly constructive to say at the moment. So no doubt that I'll record something a little bit later on in the day. But for now, from me, that's that. Goodbye. Well, hello listeners, it's me again. It's about 6:20, and I'm nearing, I hope, the end of what's turned out to be quite a tiring sort of afternoon, really, on the third day of the challenge for me. I recorded an update, of course, at lunchtime from the Inveroran, I think it is, hotel. And in the end, a group of us probably spent, well, I would say probably about 2.5 hours sitting around in there, having a beer, then another, and another. Halves, in my case, after the first, thank God for that at least. Quite a lot of beer was consumed and much fun was had, and we met some new people who were not challengers. Introduced them to the challenge, maybe that they'll be making an application next year. And then pressed on. Most of the sort of group of us who've seen each other fairly regularly since leaving Oban have now dispersed in various directions. But I am approaching Bothy, and I know that, approaching Gorton Bothy, and I think not an awfully long way down the path behind me are Bill and Roy. In fact, just as I'm talking to you, the little chimney has come into view around the corner, so that's a very welcome sight. And I know that a German challenger passed us this morning before we'd actually left the camping spot at Loch Dochart, and he said that he was coming this way. So he may be here, or he may have pressed on. And so maybe that I'll have an opportunity to have a chat with somebody I haven't yet met. In fact, just pausing, I see, in fact, along the path, some distance away, perhaps, hard to say how far, 400 metres, maybe 600 metres, two tents, presumably, well, clearly there are people who don't want to be at Gorton Bothy. There may be challengers, don't know who they are. It's too distant for me to see what they are, but it does look as though the one on the right could be an ACTO, or failing that, a later competition. Don't know what the one on the left might be. Anyway, well, there we go. I'll definitely record something later this evening, because Gorton Bothy is a place I've been wanting to visit for quite some time. Attracted to it, as I was by its haunted reputation. I'll tell the story later on as I understand it, but this is the first in the series of haunted Bothies that I hope to visit during my challenge this year. So, subject to there being space, what I hope to do is actually put up the tent outside just in case I need to make an escape at dead of night, but try to sleep inside, because it would be tragic, of course, if there were manifestations inside and I was sleeping outside and kind of deeply unaware of the whole thing. So, well, there we go. I'm really looking forward to dinner now. I'm going to have the second portion of the dehydrated beef and root vegetable stew that I made a couple of weeks ago and have brought with me to consume with smashed potato. I could have been eating the Thai green curry, but the stew was so delicious last night, and I'm so keen to eat this evening, that I think I'm going to have that, because I haven't tried the Thai thing yet, and though hopefully it'll be nice, it might be revolting, and that would be a disappointment. Okay, so there you go. I'm panting my way up, couldn't call it a hill, but a little incline, so I'm going to put this away for now, because I can hear the wind coming back. I hope it's not hissing too loudly on the recording. And I'll record something a little later on. So, for now, goodbye.
Well, you can probably hear rain beating against the tent here. But if I was to say I was lying in the tent, absolutely roasting, that gives you an idea of how strange the weather is. There's a beautiful sun shining on the other side of this campsite. And a big black cloud overhead that's raining on us. Reasonably short day today, but nevertheless strenuous. We got up at about 7, strode into Coogee Lodge, stopped there, had a chat to a few people, had a bacon sandwich and a cup of coffee, and the use of a real toilet, absolute luxury. And then we ambled down the road before taking the Raid Road to Fort Augustus, but as soon as we left the forest, we took a bearing east and crossed over open heather moorland to the Balmacan Forest. The Balmacan has something of a reputation. It's pretty high, pretty flat and bleak, but we had a glorious day. The ground wasn't too wet underneath us and the sun shone most of the time. And we're now camped at another fabulous wild campsite. That's Phil shouting, it stopped raining. We're at a place called Loch Na Snack. And Loch Na Snack, I think, yep. And it's a big loch. I don't know whether it's some kind of reservoir, water provider. There's a strange little house on the side of it. It's a deserted three-floor structure. Just room at the north end for a few tent pitches, and nothing around us really, apart from peat bog and more mountains. Fabulous spot this, and that makes three good wild camps in 3 days. So we're gonna leave it there. I've given Phil the day off today as he's been chattering away. Mainly because he's got quite a lot of interesting stuff to tell us about Finland, and we'll deal with that tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be up pretty early, and we'll continue our excursion around the lakes of the Balmacan before picking up the track that will take us into Drumladdrochit, hopefully for lunchtime, real food and real beer.
Well, folks, listeners, it's it's almost 10 o'clock, I think, and here we are in the fabled Gorton Bothy, which is a beautiful place, in fact. I hadn't known what to expect, but it's really lovely. There are two rooms, and there are four of us sitting around here in the room that has the fire in it. The fire's a little bit sluggish. Bill's been trying to tend it with not enormous success, but great persistence. But whenever Kathy goes near it, it sort of starts roaring up the chimney. It's most impressive. I think this is a sort of woman's superiority with fire things, but I'm not sure that there's universal agreement. Anyway, it is a lovely place. It's very warm and dry with a nice wooden floor and wood panelled walls. And I'm told there's a little brown mouse, but the mouse hasn't shown its face yet. And we're kind of segregated here because Kathy and I were quite happy for the blokes to come in and share this room, but they decided to go into the next room. And in fact, Bill's just had quite an unusual experience in there, haven't you, Bill?
Definitely have, yes. Obviously some other creature in there, whether it's Genie with a light brown fur or whether it is the famous phantom. And in the middle of the night, we shall find out, obviously from Shirley, not from anyone else. Mm-hmm. But after a long day and 4 pints of Guinness in the Amuron hostelry, and now on our second or third malt whiskey, we're just about settling down for the evening. So I wish you all good night.
And what kind of a day have you had then?
Very good day again today. Weather's been absolutely superb.
Yep.
Can't just believe it. Three wonderful days.
Yeah.
And a lovely session at the pub at lunchtime.
Yes, I noticed you didn't attempt to say the hotel.
No. I was left that to somebody else.
Yes, well, I can't say it either. So.
And yeah, quite happy to be in the bothy tonight.
Yeah.
No camping.
Well, it is a lovely bothy. Well, Kathy's also here. I wonder if you could persuade her just to say hello. Go on, Kathy, say hello.
Hello.
There we go.
I agree with Joe. It's been a beautiful day. Really nice. Nice not to be camping, and the company's very good in the bothy.
Yeah. Well, it's an excellent place.
Inveroran, by the way.
Inveroran. See, Kathy can say it, but she has practice because she is Scottish, you see. She's been saying words like Inveroran since she was a little child. Kathy, just another very brief word, because this is the first time we've had a chat on the challenge. How many challenges have you done before?
I've started four before,
okay.
And finished two, and okay. Had to bail out because of ill health and two others.
Okay, and what's your route this time?
From here to Bridge of Gore, on up Loch Erich direction, eventually to meet with my husband at Kincraig.
Yep.
And then he'll drop me off at Kincraig again, and I'll carry on. I'm hoping to go down the Larrig Grue, depending
excellent.
On the weather.
Yeah.
And down to Braemar.
Braemar for the Saturday night.
I don't know if I'll make it for the Saturday night, but I will try.
Okay,
I will try.
And after
and,
Braemar?
Well, my official route is over Loch Na Garr down to Loch Mick and up to Shilling of Mark, mm-hmm. but I may change that and go to Ballater and over Mount Keen.
Okay.
Don't know. I haven't quite decided yet.
Okay. Well, so. That's exactly the same as me. My official route is the one you mentioned, and my bailout is the other one that you mentioned. So hopefully we'll meet in one of those places.
Yes. Oh, that would be nice.
Yes. Well, listeners, that's probably just about it from us for this evening. I think I mentioned earlier that Gorton Bothy is said by some to be haunted, but it certainly hasn't exhibited any signs of any kind of malignant atmosphere. It's very warm and cosy and welcoming, but certainly if I wake up in the middle of the night to find anything truly terrifying happening, then be sure that I will reach for this immediately and attempt to record it for you. But in the meantime, I suppose that I'll put it away and get on with the malt whiskey, finish off my cup of tea, and give you some idea in the morning of how things have gone. So for the meantime, it's good night from me and from Kathy and from Ray and from Bill. Good night.
Now our intrepid podcasters are a few days into the trip and past the notorious day three, where the aches come back to haunt walkers, and first-timers start to have doubts about navigation and the vastness of the expanse they have yet to cross. A more detailed account of their crossing with pictures and kit lists, etc., can be found on their blogs. Andy's is andyhowell.info. Shirley's is pwiglet.com. Plus, of course, the website dedicated to the event itself, tgochallenge.co.uk.
Join us next time as the journey across Scotland continues on the TGO Challenge. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
You can now follow The Outdoor Station on Facebook, where we chat about each programme we produce, answer questions and discuss future productions. Why not join us there?
This podcast is produced and hosted by theoutdoorstation.co.uk.